essentially what we're interested in is discrimination. And in general, when we think about how discrimination might manifest in organizational contexts, we often think of more of the blatant forms of discrimination. So denying someone a job because of their gender or their race, their ethnicity. And we don't see a lot of that anymore, and especially when it comes to protected classes like gender and race. What we thought is that discrimination likely manifests in different ways in these more modern contexts. And so we began exploring more subtle forms of discrimination, or how discrimination might manifest in more subtle ways. And so in some of our research, we've actually looked at stereotypes and discrimination as they might relate to obese individuals. And research suggests that people who are overweight or are obese tend to be stereotyped as lazy or less intelligent, less efficient. And these are stereotypes that should have implications in organizational contexts. In one set of studies, we looked at a customer service context, and we started here because this is essentially what you might consider a pretty conservative test. If anyone were to hold back any of their biases, you'd imagine it would be a customer service agent, because they tend to work on commission, and so it's in their best interest to treat everybody the same and very positively. So what we did in one set of studies is go into a shopping mall, and we had shoppers shop in these stores as overweight or obese. And one question is, well, how do we do this in a way that can standardize the person? Because you might argue, well, maybe some of the differences that we might see in treatment could come about as a function of the personality of the person that goes in, or as a function of maybe their attractiveness or something like this. Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with weight. So what we were able to do was essentially manipulate weight by having obesity prostheses, or what's more commonly known as fat suits, developed. And so we could have someone go into a context as their traditional weight, so we used average weight research confederates, or they could enter into this to a context wearing this obesity prosthesis, so they would look overweight or obese. What we thought we might see are these more subtle forms of discrimination, and how we defined that was interpersonal behavior. So what type of eye contact, how friendly are the customer service agents, how much do they smile? How rude are they? So these subtle interpersonal behaviors that can essentially leak out if someone has some biases. And the way that we were able to measure these is we were able to have our shoppers sort of take note of these behaviors, but we also essentially sent in spies. So we had people enter the store ahead of time and pretend to be shopping, and they could then monitor the interaction. The nice thing was they could monitor both people. They could help us rule out the possibility that our shoppers were acting differently as a function of whether they were wearing this prosthesis or not. And then they could also monitor the customer service agents. And we also hid tape recorders in the purses of our shoppers, so we could also tape record the conversations and get another measure, an independent measure of what's happening in this interaction. And they went in with a script. They were very trained, so that everyone was asking for the same thing. They wanted help finding a present for their sister. And they had this interaction, and once they exited the store, we had our shoppers record the treatment that they received, and we had our observers also record this treatment. And what we found was that, in general, our overweight shoppers were treated with more of this interpersonal hostility. We did not see evidence of these more formal forms of discrimination. So nobody was turned away from the store, nobody was refused help. But where these differences emerged was when we looked at these interpersonal forms. And both the observers and the shoppers and the tape recorders revealed that these interpersonal behaviors were more negative with the overweight shoppers. We've also looked at these contexts at when prejudice-justifying cues are present. And so what we thought is that if there were cues that essentially reaffirmed people's stereotypes, we'd see even more of this, these subtle discriminatory behaviors leaking out. And so in some of these studies, what we did is we paired our shoppers with a cue that essentially served to make salient or justify stereotypes. So in one set of studies, we had our overweight and average weight shoppers go in being very casually dressed, so sort of reinforcing this sloppy stereotype. And what we found is that dress, being casually dressed or professionally dressed, had no influence on average weight shoppers. They were treated the same in terms of interpersonal behaviors and these explicit formal behaviors. Where they had an impact was on our overweight shoppers. If our overweight shoppers were dressed casually, they received the most of these negative interpersonal behaviors. They were penalized the most in those contexts. In another set of studies, we actually had our shoppers mention diet and exercise because people report that this is, again, their stereotype that essentially people are choosing to be overweight, that they're lazy. And so what we had is people mention in their interaction that they were running a marathon, or they mentioned a friend running a marathon and they held an ice cream drink or a bottle of water. And what we found was that, again, it didn't matter what the average weight shoppers were holding, whether they were exercising or not, they're treated the same. This had the greatest impact for the overweight shoppers. What research shows is that whereas I might not realize that these nonverbal behaviors are different in my interaction with you versus someone else, the person who I'm interacting with does. And actually, in this customer service study, what we found is we ran another study where we looked at real shoppers, and we looked at how they their purchasing behaviors as a function of their treatment in these stores. And what we found was that the more overweight the shopper was, the more likely they were reporting that they experienced less friendliness, more rudeness, less eye contact, less smiling, and they were less likely to spend their money in that store. They were more likely to leave and not spend their money. So they not only noticed these behaviors, but this also impacted their buying behavior. So it actually hurt the company by not by sort of not realizing that these negative nonverbals were leaking into this interaction. We looked at how training interactions can be influenced by these behaviors. And again, we used a similar setup where we had people training individuals who they believed were overweight or average weight. And what we found is that trainers expected less of their trainees who they thought were overweight. They believed the training wasn't going to go as well. And after the training, they said it didn't go as well. And those trainers who had those negative expectations, it turned out that, again, this leaked into those interactions, and their trainees performed worse on this task. So if organizations are implementing things like training to essentially level the playing field, there's a little bit of a backfire there where these types of things can really go undetected, because you could say, well, I have these training programs, so this should eliminate potential biases. So then the question being, you know, what can you do? First, knowing that this is a possibility and being aware of it is incredibly important, because that's one way to begin sort of adjusting behaviors and treatment. Also, standardization of certain aspects. So, for example, part of the way these behaviors leak out are in these tiny, tiny ways, like spending less time with someone. So in this training interaction, our trainers got to choose how long they spent with a person. Well, if you expect less of them, you're going to give up sooner on them. So by standardizing things like when you train someone or interview someone, make sure that the interview lasts 30 minutes. Don't end it 10 minutes early. Make sure that the following 10 questions are asked, and they're asked in this way, that they're all framed in the same way. Because you can ask one question in a very positive frame, so tell me about some of the hurdles you've been able to overcome at work, but you can also frame it really negatively, like what are some hurdles that really set you back? And the answers might lead you to feel differently about an applicant. So making sure that these types of things are standardized, and that really helps reduce some of these subtle things that creep in